What is the objective of the future? One step closer. One step closer. I look back and I say, I didn't get 100. I didn't do everything I wanted. I think I need to ask a different question. Did I get closer? My ultimate objective is not the destination. My ultimate objective is progress. It's as if Allah is teaching us that the place you're in is exactly the place you're supposed to be, so you can see what your next step is, then what your next step is, then what your next step is, and that is the mindset of your entire life. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi khaliq al-wujud min al-adam, wa ja'il al-nur min al-zulam, wa mukhrij al-sabr min al-alam, fa mulqi al-tawbati ala al-nadam, fa nashkuruhu ala al-masa'ibi kama nashkuruhu ala al-ni'am, wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-akram, ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. Today inshallah, not too much Arabic because you have enough Arabic going on in your life and you have an exam coming up, so today's khutbah will be short so that you get more time to review, find yourselves, and inshallah ta'ala make dua that you do very, very well on your tests. First thing I'd like to remind all the students in regards to that, just as a principle in life, in many societies, tests, examinations are a mark of your value as a learner. So how you do on a test is what kind of student you are. It speaks to you as a, it doesn't just value your knowledge, it values you. It values you as a person. Tests only serve one actual purpose in reality. For those who are seeking knowledge, there's a difference between someone who seeks knowledge and someone who seeks graduation. It's a big difference. Because someone who's seeking graduation can cram, take a test, pass, move on. And then whatever they studied is gone. They weren't seeking that anyway. They were seeking the validation of having gotten that degree or having passed that test. That was their objective, right? And because societies in the world value that so much, what degree do you have? What did you score on the test? We've now confused that with the pursuit of knowledge. Those two things have become confused with each other. They're not the same. You didn't come here because you're pursuing a degree. You didn't come to study all this month away from family to get a credential. Well, if you did, then I think you came for the wrong reason. So even though that may not have been your intention before, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ also الْأَعْمَالُ بِخَوَاتِيمِهَا, you can fix your intention before you leave. Right? So it's not too late to correct course. Actually, somebody can come into Islam even for the wrong reasons and then change their way after they come into Islam. Famously, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was upset that Rasulullah was hit. And he came and out of anger accepted Islam. There was no da'wah, he just got mad and he accepted Islam. You could argue he accepted Islam for the quote unquote wrong reasons. That's not the reason to accept this religion. And he becomes one of the biggest supporters of Islam. Why? Because the change that comes inside of a person, it's not one pathway. It could be that he accepts Islam first and his heart inclines towards it later, or it was a little bit inclined towards Islam and then Allah opens the door later. His Islam is not the same as the Islam of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Their pathways are different. The way they come to it is different. And some people come to a realization later on and some before. There are many reports of Sahaba who are reported to have been known to be among the munafiqeen. Like they were known to be allied with the hypocrites. And then they say, the historians will say, Ahsana Islamahu. He fixed his Islam. He changed course. So if your mindset wasn't the right one in the beginning, that doesn't mean you're set in stone. It can go through a change. So that's a little bit about tests. Then what's the point of taking a test? The point of taking a test is not what numbers on the piece of paper, because if it's a 90-something, then you're a 90-something kind of person. That's not what it means. The entire purpose of a test is to challenge yourself to absorb as much as you can of what you learned, to put yourself under pressure, to absorb, to internalize, and then when you see your test and you see what mistakes you made, you know exactly what you need to work on more. Like, you have to prepare 12 chapters, but you knew, you know, 11.5 of them really well, and that other 0.5 is scattered in between. There are gaps in between. And you don't know exactly where those gaps are until they get exposed. And now that they're exposed, now you can address one gap at a time. And what's amazing about that, if you have that mindset, is your mistakes, they're the ones that become your strengths. The thing that you get wrong, the X on a piece of paper, the word that couldn't come to your mind, if you decide, if that burned you, and you now go look it up and review it, and what, you'll never make that mistake again. You'll make new ones, but not that one. Okay, that mistake is done with, you know? So that's the reason we want to put ourselves under that kind of pressure. That's the reason we want to go and study. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is something even longer. Today, alhamdulillah, as I walk by students in the hallway, I keep saying congratulations, congratulations, and congratulations. But we haven't taken the test yet. Yes, congratulations. I'm congratulating you because you did an incredible effort. Many of you haven't sat in a classroom for many years. And now you're sitting in a classroom 6 hours a day. Every day. Sometimes you come back into a class and you feel like, did I even leave? This is a continuous nightmare. Right? Right? So it's a powerful thing to be able to cut yourself off from so many other activities, commitments, distractions, and to be able to do this, right? And outside of this, it's going to be very hard for you to go back to a life of discipline. For many of you, you're not going to know what to do with your free time. It's going to go back to some scrolling or something or the other. Very, very quickly, it's going to deteriorate, right? So I congratulate you for at least having 1 month of optimal productivity where every moment was being used for something productive. And even the break you got was so that you can come back even stronger when you come back the next session and your mind isn't too tired, right? On that note, I wanted to share with you something that I don't think I've ever shared really before. People ask me all the time, what's my favorite ayah? I think this month I was asked that maybe 15 times. What's your favorite ayah, Ustad? And I started thinking about the first time I was asked that question. I was 18 years old. I was asked that question. So it was 1875. And I was asked the question, what's your favorite ayah? And I remember where it was. It was in New York. And there was someone I looked up to who had studied a lot of Quran. I barely knew any Quran. And he said, you read Quran, right? I was like, yeah. What's your favorite ayah? And in a split second, I recited the ayat that I just read before you. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Don't say about anything that you're going to do this and this tomorrow at all. Don't you dare say that. Don't you dare say that. We all have plans. You have plans of what you're going to do after you leave here. You have plans. You may have booked your tickets. You have plans of what you're going to do this evening. You have plans of what you're going to do tomorrow. You have a schedule. Don't you dare say you're going to do this or this or that, this or that or the other tomorrow. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except that Allah wills it to happen. Allah opens the door for that to happen. That Allah's will aligns with my will. It's almost as if I recognize when I make that statement. When we say inshallah so commonly, we lose the spirit of it, the soul of it. The soul of it is, none of my plans have any value until they align with Allah's plans. And it may well be that I made a really good plan, but Allah has a different plan. And He did not want my plan to align with His. So I make all my plans, and I still say at the end, I don't make any plans. Let Allah do all the planning. That's not what it says either. It says, I'm still going to do something tomorrow, which means I'm still planning. And yet, while I'm planning, I'm also acknowledging that the final word is with Allah. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. And then he says, and remember Allah when you forget. Remember your master when you forget, which has multiple meanings. You forgot to say inshallah. You just forgot, and then you said it later. Right? Hey, see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. And then you're in the elevator. Oh, I didn't say inshallah. Inshallah. Okay, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. That's one way to think about it. But there's another. Maybe you did plan something, and it didn't go the way you thought. Like many of you thought, you were going to just, after you leave here, you're going to get a job at Al Jazeera. Right? And it didn't work out that way. Or you didn't think you made as much progress as you wanted. You disappointed yourself. Don't raise your hand. Right? You disappointed. I could have done better. I could have done more. I can't believe I didn't do as well. Like, you have these things that you, it looked a lot more romantic. It looked a lot more beautiful in your mind. And then the reality hit, and it's kind of this, it's a sweet thing that you're finishing, but there's also a kind of look at yourself and say, I didn't really get what I was looking for. I'm disappointed in myself. Even then, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Remember your Rabb when you forget, because you planned, you had dreams, you had aspirations, you had goals, but maybe Allah has a different plan. So just remember Allah in that time too. When the future you envisioned doesn't turn out to be the future you envisioned, it's also a time to remember your Rabb. And then the dua at the end of this is actually the reason this is my favorite, was my favorite place in the Quran at the time. And continues to be a pillar in my life, and I think in the life of every Muslim. وَقُلْ, and say. And the say is also interesting, because Allah just said, وَذْكُرْ, remember. Remember is in the heart. But قُلْ is speech. Speech. In psychology, they have this entire genre called self-talk. You gotta talk to yourself. You're in a conversation with yourself. Why? Because you need to hear some things even from yourself. It's as if there's two parts of you. There's two parts of you. There's a part of you that needs to hear something from another part of you. This idea, it sounds like I'm talking about a split personality, is actually true. There is dimensions of ourself. There are dimensions of ourself. Allah says, for example, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever can be protected from the greed of their own nafs, like this thing, this greed, and this insensitivity lives inside me, and I need protection from a part of myself. So there's something inside me, and it's me, and it's a scary part of me, and I need to be saved from that part of me. The same way, I need to have a conversation with me. So وَقُلْ, say it. And it's not even say it to somebody else. It's say it to yourself, actually, in this ayah. It's say it in the mirror. What are you saying to yourself? عَسَى رَبِّي أَن يَهْدِيَنِي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. One of the most incredible du'as in the Qur'an. The word asa is the first thing here. It's an act of humility. Asa is probably, hopefully, maybe. But asa is also used in the meaning, in a more positive meaning. So when you say it for a king, okay, عَسَى الْمَلِكْ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي, that, or أَن يُسَامِحَنِي, what that means is, hopefully the king will forgive me, is your way of saying, please king, forgive me. So the asa is actually, now you're coming humbly to Allah and saying, Ya Allah, I'm not going to tell you to do this. I'm just hoping that you my Rabb would do this for me. It's also interesting that you could have said, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani, Ya Rabb, ihdini, my Rabb, guide me. Like we say in the Fatiha, we say what? Ihdina, guide us. But why go into the third person, Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani? Hopefully my Rabb is going to guide me. This is actually a kind of an infisal, it's a distance. It's a rhetorical distance. It suggests, Ya Allah, I'm down here, and you are the greatest of all great kings, and I'm talking to you without even addressing you in the second person. I'm speaking of you, even though I'm talking to you. This is تنزيل المخاطب منزلة الغائب. This is, you're talking to him, but you're talking away from him, as if you're coming with so much humility, your humility didn't even let you address him directly. That's how humble, right? You know, if a child, to give you a silly example, if a son is comes in front of the father and he knows the father might listen, might not listen, and he says, Father knows best. Instead of saying, Dad, you know best, just Father knows best. Okay? Like he uses a term of respect out of awe for the presence of his father there. Okay? So this idea, Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani, is very powerful. So hopefully my Rabb will guide me. Guide me to what? Li aqraba. Two words. Both those words are powerful. Aqrab is an ism tafdeel. Some of you heard about ism tafdeel this month. It's a comparative noun. Closer. So there's three versions of the adjective. Near, nearer, and nearest. This word is nearer. So it's not near, and it's not nearest. Okay, nearer. He'll guide me to something nearer. Already sounds off. Because you don't guide someone to get closer. You guide someone to get to their destination. Somebody says, I want to go to the airport. You say to them, I'll get you near it. If you take the 10 steps this way, you'll get nearer. I need to get to my destination. Don't tell me how to get nearer to it. Get me how to reach it. You understand? I want to get to guidance itself, Rashad. I want to reach Rashad. So ahdiyani ila Rashad, or ahdiyani ila Rushd. Hopefully my Rabb will guide me all the way to the right path, to the right way, or to the right destination. Nope. Hopefully my master will guide me nearer, closer. Powerful thing to say. Because now I realize my entire purpose in life, every tomorrow, because this ayah is about tomorrow, isn't it? The whole thing was about don't say what you're going to do tomorrow. Still the same ayah. This context is actually about what is the objective of the future. One step closer. One step closer. I look back and I say, I didn't get 100. I didn't do everything I wanted. I think I need to ask a different question. Did I get closer? That's the real question. Now, I didn't get as close as I wanted. I didn't reach the finish line. Okay, I didn't. But did I take steps? Some people will take 200 steps. Some people 2,000. Some people 2 steps. But all of them in their own capacity got closer. They got closer. But one of the most profound words in this ayah is li. Grammarians argue about the difference between ila and li. You guys know both of those prepositions, ila and li. So, hadaytuhu ila al-bayt. I guided him to the house. Ila al-bayt. But you don't say hadaytuhu lil-bayt. You don't use lam normally. You use ila. رغم أن ila واللام أختان. They're two sisters. But اللام في البلاغة للغاية. Lam is for the ultimate destination. Ila is for the direction, and lam is for the ultimate destination. So if I did say in Old Arabic, hadaytuhu lil bayt, what that would rhetorically mean is, I took him, and I made sure I guided him all the way until he got to the house. If I hadaytuhu ila al bayt, I just pointed him to the house and said, you can go. So the lam gets you all the way there. This is why you find not ila but lam in the ayah of Jannah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ Alhamdulillah for the one who guided us all the way to this. All the way to Jannah. He didn't say إِلَى هَذَا, he said لهذا. Okay, لهذا. Now come back to this ayah. I already said this ayah wasn't about getting you to the destination. It was just getting you closer. Didn't I say that? That doesn't sound like the ultimate end. That just sounds like progress in the journey. So the closer word expected here is ila. Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani ila. Right? But he said li aqraba. Li aqraba, not ila aqraba. What does the lam do? It teaches me that my ultimate objective is to get closer. My ultimate objective is not the destination. My ultimate objective is progress. Growth. Growth is the objective. What happens when someone reaches an objective? If there's a mountain and you reach the top of the mountain, you're done climbing. I reached it. There's no more to climb. It's done. Which means you completed your goal. Now you better find some other mountain. Now you got to get down from here. And you know what people do when their goal is to reach the top? I want to be the top student. I want to be the top business person. I want to be the top this or top a top influencer. You know what happens when people, you know, work to get to the top? All they can think about is who's in front of them. Man, this one's on top and I'm not. So the only thing you're thinking about is how do I tear that one down and take their place? And once you get there and you see somebody climbing up, what are you thinking? Oh my God, this person's coming and they're going to take my place. They're going to take my place because I already reached the top and they're coming for me. They're getting more popular. They're getting a better score. The teacher likes them more. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. There's a constant, you're looking at somebody else. But when your ultimate objective becomes, did I take the next step? Did I take the next two steps? Did I take the next three steps? Are you concerned about other people anymore? They disappear. The only thing left is, did I make progress? You freed yourself from a life of comparison because you concerned yourself with a life of growth. عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي لِأَقْرَبَ. Getting closer is the ultimate objective. مِنْ هَذَا. Now look at this. Let's end this ayah. مِنْ هَذَا. Get closer to him from this. Min hadha. Hadha ismu al-ishara lil-qareeb. The ayah began with dhalika. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ. That. عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا. This. What is hadha referring to? Hadha is referring to where I am standing right now. Wherever I am, it doesn't matter. I can get closer. I can be 1,000 miles behind everyone else. But that's my hadha. And somebody else is 10,000 miles ahead of me. That's their hadha. They have a different hadha than mine. And they look at their hadha and say, I can make progress. And you look at your hadha and say, I can make progress. What's the disease? You don't look at your own hadha, you look at somebody else's dhalika. They're making progress. Can they slow down so I can catch up? Is there any way to slow them down? Or maybe reverse them a little bit? Instead of looking at where you're standing. It's as if Allah is teaching us that the place you're in is exactly the place you're supposed to be so you can see what your next step is. Then what your next step is. Then what your next step is. And that is the mindset of your entire life. That's the entire life. عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. That's a goal. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a mindset that frees you from anxiety, that frees you from paralysis, that frees you from comparison, that frees you from looking at yesterday. Because Allah didn't say, I hope you become better than yesterday. No, I need to move forward from today, مِنْ هَذَا. Some people say, I was doing so much better yesterday and I'm doing so much worse today. Allah could have said, Allah will guide me better today than He guided me yesterday. He didn't. He didn't want you to focus on your past. He wanted you to focus on your present. Min hadha. Min hadha. And then move forward. Because some of you were much worse before and you're much better now. And some of you were much better before and much worse now. Some of you were much more active before, much more disciplined before, much more productive before, and now your energy has slowed down, or you're more distracted, or you're not able to focus, or you have other problems in life, whatever happened, and you're not what you used to be, and you keep looking back and saying, how do I get back to where I was? How do I go back to the way things used to be? I used to be so much better. That is a dhalika. And this dua is about hadha. Let go of that. Focus on this. That's why every life, every day is a new life. Every day is alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. That person died. Who I was yesterday died. Then a new person was born today. And they have to make two steps today. And then this person is going to die tonight when they go to sleep. And a new me is going to be born tomorrow morning, if Allah wills. And when that person takes the next two steps, that's their hadha. This is the thing to never forget. This is the thing to live by. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people that can truly embody the wisdom of the Quran and the wisdom of this powerful dua. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal continues to give you and gives you a life of continuous progress through to the last of your moments on this earth. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Quran al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim.